Okay, we're holding Mem Hail and Bays Torah Bonon about 10 lines up, maybe a little bit more. Torah Bonon, Pasha Ifsha. If you have bread that became moldy, V'nifsala Melechal Adam, so it's already bad enough that a person won't eat it. However, V'akelav Yachal Ichla, a dog, an animal, will still eat it. So, it's still mitame tumas eichlin. It could still give off tumas eichlin if it has the shear of a kabeya, which is the shear of tumas eichlin, because that's the rule we've said many times that once something's a food, it doesn't lose its status of being a food until it's nifsal meachinas kalav. Kozman, it's not nifsal meachinas kalav; it's still a food and it's still mitame. V'yisrefes imatmeya bePesach. However, regarding if it was truma, going back to the first parak, that you have an iser of being metame truma tahira. However, once it's spoiled to the point that a kayin won't eat it anymore, even if a dog will still eat it, there's no more achiyah to watch it, that it shouldn't become tame. So if you have this truma tahira that was spoiled, it's nifsal me'achiyas adam, and you want to burn it together with truma tameya to get rid of it before Pesach, you're allowed to be metame it. Because once it's nifsal me'achiyas adam, there's no more chiyuv to watch it, to be shemer p'tahar. Mishum Nasan Amnu, in the name of Nasan, they say, any metamers that even Lagabi Tumma, once it's nifsal me'achiyas adam, even though a dog wants to eat it, it's not metam anymore. Keman Azah Hadutanan, like Hushita, there's the following Mishnah go, Klal Amr b'taharis, that they set a rule in Taharis, Kolam Yuchal Eichal Adam. Anything that's set aside for people to eat, tamei becomes tamei achi yisrami lechal akelav. Meaning, once it was food, meaning if it was never designated initially for people to eat, even if dogs will eat it, it's not food. But once it was food, it was made for people to eat. So even if afterwards it became bad and people won't eat it anymore, nonetheless, it still retains its tumma achi yisrami lechal akelav until a dog won't anymore eat it. Kiman, who's that going like Rav Nosson? That's not like Rav Nosson, because Rav Nosson just got finished saying that it once it's nisal milachal adam, it's already tahar. Tanabaran, areva sa'avdanim. If you have an areva, is a big bowl that the tanners use to tan their hides inside that bowl. Shenosan l'seche kemach, and they put flour into the bowl. That was one of the ingredients that they used to use to tan flour in those days. So if they put flour in there, if it's within 3 days from when the flour was sitting there, chayiv levar, so then the flour, even though the tanner's bowl is very disgusting, but for the flour was only sitting there for less than 3 days, it didn't yet become so bad. It's still edible by dogs, and mainly you're mechuyev to get rid of that flour. But if it was at least 3 days sitting in the bowl, so then the flour became totally disgusting, it's no longer considered chametz that's edible, and you don't have to get rid of that flour. On that says Rav Nosson, when is it totally in 3 days or more, that you just put the flour in the bowl, but there was no hides in the bowl at the time. But if it's sitting there together with the hides, then even if it's within 3 days, you don't have to get rid of that kemach anymore, that flour anymore, because the fact that it's sitting in the bowl together with the hides and everything, then it's going to become disgusting even much faster than 3 days. On the Rabbah halacha Reb Nosson, on that Rabbah says this Reb Nosson we talk a paskin like, even though the previous Reb Nosson we do not. And afilu yemechad afilu shachas, and that which Reb Nosson says that you don't need 3 days if it's together with the hides. So how short could it be there to be already considered that it's nifsal melachal kelev, that it's no longer food and you don't have to get rid of it? Says Rava, even if it's there for 1 day, and even if it's there for just one shah, one moment, it's already, the second it's there, it becomes disgusting, and therefore, it's you don't have to get rid of it anymore. Then going back to our Mishnah said, the same way that we discussed the dough that's filling up the cracks of a mixing bowl, legali pesach, if it's a gezayis, we said you have to get rid of it. If it's less than a gezayis, you don't have to get rid of it. So v'chem le'inyin tumah, so to legali tumah, it makbid a love if you're makbid on a choytzeitz, However, if you don't care or you want it to stay there, so then it becomes batel to bo, and then it's no longer chaitzitz. So the chayin sounds like it has the same din as by chametz. Practically, midami, are they the same? They're not the same. By chametz, we didn't say it's tali if you're makbid on it, if you're not makbid on it. We said if it's less than a kazayas, it could stay. If it's more than a kazayas, it can't stay. It's tali in a shir. Whereas in the seifa, by the tumo, we said it's tali if you're makbid, if you're not makbid. It's mashmah, it's not tali in the size, no matter what size it is. If you're makbid, it's a problem. If you're not makbid, it's not a problem. So says the Gemara. Read the Mishnah. And with regard to tumah, it's not so. Meaning, it's not tali and shear, rather it's tali and kpeda. On that says Abaye, that's too much of a change. It doesn't make sense. Sometimes you have the Mishnah is missing a piece, or there's a little bit of a tais in the Mishnah because they were said by Peh. But to say such a major thing that from Vechein to Uleinin to Me'enikain, it's not mistab that the gears have just got messed up, and therefore you can't say such a pshat. Elamar Abaye, rather, says Abaye, what's pshat in the Mishnah? Hockey Kamar. This is what the Mishnah means to say. V'chein le'inyin sirif tumah bePesach, meaning the gabi tumah, it's going to depend when we're talking about. If we're talking about Pesach, or we're talking about the rest of the year. So the way that he describes it originally, that the shayas negei le gabi sirif tumah, to combine it, to complete a shir of tumah seichlin. We know that the shir of tumah seichlin that we just got finished saying before is a gabeya. So if you want to be mitzar of the dough in the cracks to complete that gabeya, so the food should give off tumah seichlin. So there, it's totally in how on the size bePesach on Pesach, because if it's less than a kezayis, it's bottled to the bowl. So therefore, it's no longer considered food, and it's not mitzaref to the rest of the food to be mitamis to mosleichlin. Whereas if it's a kezayis, since you have to get rid of it, it's not bottled to the bowl. So therefore, it's still food, and it can combine with the rest of the food to complete the shear to be mitamis to mosleichlin.
Only a Pesach on the side.
The whole year, if it's not bottled to the bowl, it's mitzaref.
Okay.
The difference is that the measuring stick of Pesach is different than the rest of the year. The rest of the year, it's just totally if you're makbid or not. If you're not makbid, it could be bottled to the bowl even if it's more than kazayis. On Pesach, we don't care if you're makbid or not, since Halach is makbid, and Halach says you have to get rid of it with the kazayis, so even a kazayis is not bottled to the bowl, regardless of if you're makbid or not. But one second, so that's what I'm saying. V'chein l'inyin tumah bePesach, it's tali in the kezayis or not.
Yeah.
And then the Mishnah continues, u'b'shar yimayz hashana, that the rest of the year it's tali in kpeda.
Yeah.
Meaning, by tumah itself, there's two sets of dinim. Right. V'chein l'inyin tumah regarding Pesach, and then u'b'shar yimayz hashana, it's tali in kpeda.
The tumah status, not the
tumah. Yeah. Meaning, if the dough is...
The ratio was talking about tumah, right?
No, the ratio was talking about if you have to get rid of it or not. Right, the ratio was talking about chametz, if you have to get rid of it. Then we said v'chein l'inyin tumah. So we're saying that means v'chein l'inyin tumah on Pesach, if it's bottled to the bowl or not, it's totally if it's a kezayis or not. However, u'b'shari mez hashana, where the halach is not going to make it... So then it's totally ikaplukta, then it depends on if you're makbid on it or not. And the Gemara explains, hey, Gidon, well, what's the case? If you're going to ikaplukas with kebeya, and you have in the bowl, you have food, but it's less than kebeya, so it doesn't have a shear to give off tumah. Vinaga b'hai botzik, but it's touching this dough that's in the crack. Bipesach, am pesach, the isurei choshuv, that the isur makes a choshuv, meaning you have to get rid of it, and therefore can't be bottled to the bowl. So if that's the case, it's not part of the bowl, it's regular dough, it's mitzaref to the rest of the dough, or the food that's sitting in the bowl, and it could be mitamet on the seichlin. It's only katali and kpeda, so I don't care about the shear, even if it's larger than the kezayis, who cares? In makbid alav mitzaref, only if you're makbid on it, so then again, it's not part of the bowl, then it will be mitzaref. But if you don't mind that it stays there, You're not planning on taking it and removing it. So then, then it becomes part of the bowl, and it's not matamet ha-masechem. So, maskiv la Rava, and that Rava asks. I mean, Rava agrees to Abaye. The next few mandarim are going to progress in the same way. Rava agrees to Abaye in din that what Abaye is saying is correct. Just in translation, to say that that's pshat in the Mishnah, that can't be, because mikatani mitzdarif v'chaytitz kadani. The lashon of the Mishnah was in makbidol of chaytitz. If you're not makbidani, it's ain't a chaytitz. So we're talking about chatzitza. The way Abaye is said pshat has nothing to do with chatzitza. It has to do with if it's mitzdarif or not mitzdarif. So Elam and Rava, therefore Rava says, again with the same principle, that there's going to be a difference between Pesach and Shai Moshe Hashanah, but the Shai was not Lagabe Tziruv, but rather Lagabe taking it to the mikvah. It was Tameh, and you want to toivel it if it's a Chatzitza or not. V'chein lahalus tahara la'areva, if you want to make the Areva Tara by taking it to the mikvah, so then, and you have a Shaila if this dough is a Chatzitza or not, so then it's totally if it's Pesach or the rest of the year. Hegi dami. And you want to take it to the mikvah. So if it's on Pesach, that means regardless of your makbid or not, because there's an iser and the iser makes you have to get rid of it. So if there's a kazayis there, it's chashuv. It's not bottled in a bowl. If it's not bottled in a bowl, then it's considered a chatzitza. Therefore, if you took it to the mikvah without removing that dough, the tefillah is no good. The rest of the year, we're there's no issue that's forcing you to remove it, so then b'kvei the talim also tell you if you're makbid on it or not. If you're makbid on it, then it's a chatzitza. However, if you're willing to leave it there, then it's bottled in areva, and therefore it's not a chatzitza, and the tefillah was a good tefillah. Maskif lo rapapa, so rapapa asks on Rav's pshat, mi katoni v'cheilinin tahara. According to your pshat, again, in halacha, your pshat is right, but that can't be what the case of the Mishnah, because according to your pshat, it shouldn't say v'cheilinin in tumah, rather it should say v'cheilinin tahara, as far as becoming tahara is concerned. V'cheilinin tumah katani, so it's mashah that the shat is not as far as becoming tahar, but rather the opposite, as far as becoming tame. Elam Rapapa, therefore, says Rapapa, final pshat, the shaila is if the areva became tam in the first place. Heridami, what would be the case? Going to nugget sheretz by hypotzik, a dead sheretz touched not the bowl itself, but rather the dough that was connected to the bowl. So bipesach am pesach di yisuri chashuv. If it's a gezayis, so again it's chashuv, yeah, because you have to get rid of it. So chaytis is not part of the bowl, and therefore it serves as a barrier between the sheretz and the bowl, and comes out that the sheretz never touched the bowl, so the bowl will be tar. So the bowl never received tumah. The shayim is ashanu the rest of the year. The mikvah edalia, so it's not totally if it on any shear. It's totally if you're makbid or not. So in makbid alone, so if you're makbid, you're planning on removing it. So again, it's not part of the bowl and chaytitz. It will stop the tumah from going to the bowl. However, if you are going to leave it there, so now the piece of dough is part of the bowl, so it comes after the sheretz touched the bowl itself, so areyuk arev, it's like the bowl itself, and therefore the entire bowl will become tummy from the sheretz.
This svara of Pesach Yitzir HaKhashiv is because you're machshir because you know you have to get rid of it, or this is like a din?
It sounds like it din, the halacha doesn't like it, even if you're willing to be mevatel, the halacha. Right.
I don't view this clean independently.
Right, but halacha does. Halacha says it has to be removed, so that does not allow it to become bata.
That's not because I'm thinking about this.
Right. And the pashtus is most erlich even if halacha says they'll also want to remove it, but I think it's stronger than that. Yeah, but that's enough. Lamaisa is not bata to the kiddi. Who cares why you want to remove it? Lamaisa, you're planning on removing it.
And why doesn't it lose its status as chametz? Because
the fact that right, that's telling the sugya before that we said we're going like the mandamer that just because you're mevatel to the kli doesn't make it lose its status of food.
Right.
It was a machlokes to lushanis in the gemara before.
But this, I'm saying, this is only
for
the
mandamer. Yeah, this mission is all going with that mandamer, like the gemara spoke out before, and yes, it is that. Yes. Okay, batzik hacharash. If you have a dough that's charash, it's like a deaf mute, meaning just like a deaf mute, you can't tell if it hears or not. So this dough, you can't tell if it becomes chametz or not. I mean, there's something wrong with the dough that it doesn't. Normal dough, like we spoke about before, has simanim. You could tell if it's where it's holding in the chametz process. this dough somehow doesn't have those simanim, so you cannot tell if it's becoming chametz or not. So if you have other doughs that are similar to it, meaning you, other doughs you made the same time that are of similar conditions, that and you see shahichmetz and you see that those doughs are becoming chametz, so you could assume that this dough is probably progressing along the same time frame, and if, as soon as those doughs become chametz, mistama this dough became chametz as well. Says the Gemara, im ein sham keyetzvah, what happens if you don't have another dough to gauge this batzak acharash off the other doughs? So what should you do? Amar Rabbavo, Amar Rabbi Shimon ben Lakish. So Rabbavo says, in the name of Rabbi Shimon ben Lakish, the amount of time that it takes a person to go from Migdol Nunya to Tveria, which is a mil. Now, we know it's a machlokes, but one shita is that a mil is 18 minutes. That's where our halacha, our meaning of doing everything in less than 18 minutes comes from, because we don't have batzak acharosh, we have batzak that has simanim, but just we're not bekiyim in the simanim, so we don't rely on the simanim, so we use just this time frame, but where you don't have simanim, or you don't know how to use the simanim, and therefore you can't rely on simanim, so you just use the time frame of a mil, which, since we pass in halacha, according to most places, that a mil is 18 minutes, so it has to be baked within 18 minutes.
Correct? Not
so we're machmer that it's 18 minutes from start to finish. The name of mil, let us, why did they have to say a mashal from Migdal Nunya to Tveri and then say mil? Just say mil. Says the Gemara, the shear the mil, Migdal Nunya Vatveri. He was just letting people know, if, in case you're not familiar with what the size of a mil is, it's the distance that it takes from Migdal Nunya to Tveri. Amar Rav Avo, Amar Rav Shimon ben Lakish. Legabel, for a kneader, so over here is a machlokes Rashi Tosfos, what's the case over here? Either it's a case that someone gave they used to have sometimes, the people used to give professional kneaders, professional bakers, a dough to make for them. So if this person that gave the dough, his kelim were tamei, and so up to how far does the gabel have to go out of his way to inconvenience himself to be tayvel the kelim before he starts, in order to make the dough b'tahara? Tosfos is a little bit different, that the case is that you're traveling, and again, you need someone to knead the dough for you, and in order to find someone who knows how to do a b'tahara, there's no one around the area that you are, you're going to have to travel further to get there, so how far do you have to travel to get to such a person? Ula tzvila, and for tzvila, meaning again, when you're traveling on the road, and where you are now, you don't have a base of Knesset, you don't have a minion. So how far more do you have to go if you're planning on stopping now, but you have a minion, let's say, a certain distance further, how much further are you mechuyev to go to get a base of Knesset, to get a minion? Ula Netilas Yadayim, and also to get water for Netilas Yadayim. Arba milim. You have to go up to 4 mil. Amar Nachman by Yitzhak, Evu Amar. First of all, it wasn't said by Rebbe Vo, rather it was said by Evu. The Arba, and he didn't say three things, we just mentioned so far three things that the shear is 4 mil. He said four things, Amarba. Chada Minayu, so what's the three are what we mentioned, and the fourth one is Ibud. The Tnan, the Kulon, there's many, this is a Mishnah in discussing that there's certain skins, there's certain hides of animals that are so soft that La Halacha they're considered an Eichel. And therefore, they're mitzaref, they're to be mitamet to masaychlin. However, even all of those she'ibdan, once you're ma'abed them, so then they become hard; they're no longer edible, and therefore they're no longer an oichel to be mitamet to masaychlin. Or she'hilah bo kedei avoda, or even if you weren't ma'abed them the whole tanning process, but at least you put it on the floor and people walked on it, the shear of ibud, then tahirin, then they're no longer mitamet to masaychlin. Chutz mi'adam, with the exception of the skin of a person, which is metame to masaychlin, and even if you're ma'abed, there's still exerid that's still metame. But kam kedei avoida, so how much is this avoida that the Mishnah says if you're mahalach on it, if you walk on it kedei avoida, then it's no longer metame. Amar veidu, amar abiyana kedei hilach arba milim. If you walk on it, the amount of traveling 4 mil. So then, it's considered me'upur, and therefore it's no longer metame anymore because it's no longer an eichel. It's now it's considered an ar, just a hide, a skin. That which we said that you have to go up to 4 mil, let's say for tefillah or for netilas yadayim, that's only if you're going in the direction that you're traveling. So you're not going out of your way, it's just that you're traveling longer for that day. You're planning on stopping, you're mechuyav to continue going till you make a stop, even up to 4 mil. But to go, to turn around and go backwards, to go out of your way, you don't even have to go back for a mil. On that, Rav Acha was medayik. From there, we see mil de'enechez. You're not going to go a mil out of your way. But if it's within a mil, if it's less than a mil, that you have to go out of your way. It's mashma. Even to go backwards, one would have to go backwards. Next mishnah. Ketzad mafishin challah b'tumah. A person's baking matzah on Pesach. Now, every time you make a dough, if you make a shir, you have to separate challah. Now, if the dough was tar, so you got no problem. Be mafresh chala on yontif and bake it on yontif because you're allowed to bake it on yontif because the kohen is allowed to eat it on yontif. So it's the baking of it is tarach yontif. However, if the chala is betumah, if the dough is tameh, so then the chala that you're going to separate from the dough is tameh. So now you're stuck because you can't bake it because it's not tarach yontif. The kohen is not allowed to eat it. You can't just let it sit there, it's going to become chametz. You can't burn it, because you're not allowed to burn, it's not tzarech yontif. We learned that in Mesech HaShavetz, that you chuma tmeya and kachum tmeya, you don't burn it on yontif. So what are you going to do? So what are you supposed to do over here? So ketzad mafrishin challah b'tumah b'yontif. So if a person has a dough that's tameh, and maybe the challah that's going to be separated is going to end up being tameh, so how do you do that hafasha on yontif? Rabbi Yezer Eimer, Lesikra lo shame achate othe. The Eitzah is, don't separate the challah until after it's baked. I mean, this is Rabbi Eliezer Lashitasi, he holds that even after something's baked, if you put it into the same basket, so we say Hasalm and Starfum, the basket that they're in could combine them for a shir challah, and if that's the case, challah could be separated at that point in time. So, being that that's the case, so separated only later, after it's baked, it comes out at the time that it's baked, you don't know which one is challah yet. Each one is potentially one that you're going to eat. And like the Gemara is going to explain, that's sufficient to be allowed to bake it. Bemeseira says, no, tatal b'tzenin. You're not allowed to bake it, so rather what you do is you take the dough and you put it into cold water, and the cold water will stop it from becoming chametz. Amar Rishua, opinion number 3, says a Rishua, Loi zehu chametz she muzharim rov b'vay yirov b'vay yimotze. This is not a chametz that you're over b'vay yirov b'vay yimotze, meaning because, like we know, the chametz that you're over b'vay yirov b'vay yimotze is only your own chametz. Shalcho yata roi avav taro roi shalachim shalgavaya. So over here, make that frasha. So what you do is you mafresh it, umanichasa, and then you just leave it there out of erev until the night, until matziyantiv. Vimechmitza chemitza, it becomes chametz. So what? Let it become chametz. It's not your problem because as soon as you mafresh it, it's not yours anymore. It becomes mam kain, and no kain has to worry about it because it wasn't given to a specific kain yet. It just has to be given to kainim in general. But it doesn't belong to any other Jew. This is less than a regular Jew. It would be comparable to Shekhovai because it's owned by Shevik Un. It's not owned by any specific person. That's what he's saying. So if it becomes Chametz, so be it. Let it become Chametz. So the Gemara wants to say, Leimo b'tayves hanakim mefligi. Rabbi Eliezer who lets you bake it, and Rabbi Yeshua who doesn't let you bake it, why doesn't Rabbi Yeshua hold? Maybe it's true Rabbi Yeshua holds that you don't have to be concerned of it becoming chametz, but if there would be a way to bake it, then Rabbi Yeshua wouldn't say, then just let it become chametz. Obviously, Rabbi Yeshua holds that there's no way to bake it. So why doesn't the old of Rabbi Yehuda's days just bake everything and be mafresh afterwards?
But so, if it's not going to be eaten, why are you let it bake it anyway? It's not.
According to Rabbi Yehuda?
Yeah.
Because at the time you bake it, you didn't designate which one's chal yet, so each one is potentially the one that could be eaten. That's the Gemara is going to explain this in a moment, but that's a chiddush of Yom Tov that we say Hayel, that since each and every one could potentially be the one that I'm going to eat, there's no issue of baking that one, even though you know that between all of them, let's say the 10 that you're baking, one of them is not going to be eaten. But since each and every one by itself is potentially able to be eaten, so therefore you're allowed to bake it. So why does the Rebbe Yeshua not hold to the Seitzes? It says the Gemara, let us suggest that the Machloikis, Rabbi Yezer, Rabbi Yeshua, is in Tavis Hana. Meaning, every Chala, or every Truma, for that matter, the owner doesn't own it. It has to be given to the Kayanim. However, the owner has in it Tavis Hana. He has in it the benefit of deciding whichever kind he wants to give it to, the kind that he likes, or someone could pay him even to give it to a specific kind. So, is that Tavis Hana that he has in it, that control to decide which kind to give it to, is that considered that he has a bialis in it, or that Tavis Hana is insignificant, it's not called Mammon, and therefore he has no bialis in the dough? So maybe that's the Machlokes. The Tavis Hana is considered Mammon. Therefore, he holds. So it's not pshat that Rabbi Yeshua doesn't hold Rabbi Yehuda's Eitzah, but the opposite. Rabbi Yehuda doesn't hold Rabbi Yeshua's Eitzah that you can just let it sit, because Tavis Hana is Mammon. And therefore, even after your Mafresh, you still have Tavis Hana in that Challah. And because of that, it's still your Mammon, and you would be over by your Rabbi Yehuda. So your only Eitzah is you're forced to bake it and then be Mafresh afterwards. Rabbi Yeshua Savar, on that Rabbi Yeshua holds Tavis Hana ain't a Mammon. That no, Tavis Hana is not Mammon, so you don't have to rely on any coolers to bake them all. Just let it sit there and let it become chametz. It's not mine anyway. So on that says the Gemara Loi. No, that's not Pshat in the Machlokes, rather the opposite. The Kuli Amot Sari Tavis Hana in a Mammon. Everybody holds that Tavis Hana is not Mammon, it's not considered mine, and therefore Rabbi Yeshua's eighth that Rabbi Eliezer would agree to. So it's not Pshat that Rabbi Eliezer only used his eighth as a last resort, Adarab. Rabbi Yeshua's eighth is the last resort, and Rabbi Eliezer said, you don't need to come on to Rabbi Yeshua's eighth and let it become chametz, because I have a better eighth. I have a way to bake it that's mutar gomer. The machlokes is, do you say hoyl or not? The Rabbi Yehuda Sava Amrinan hoyl, you say hoyl. What's the hoyl? So the Gemara says, hoyl v'ibay itcha alei mamaynehu. That, yes, it's chala, but chala, just like chuma and any other hektish, is a neder. And if you want to be matir neder, then it can go. It will revert back to being chulin. So even though as of now it's currently not yours, Hoyle says that it could potentially be mine by being Matan Eder, therefore I cannot let it and become Chometz. Now, the Gemara leaves us hanging. Rashi speaks out that there's really a second Hoyle as well. There's a second Hoyle that, like we said before, and there's no Isser to bake it, because that's also a Hoyle. Each one of those 10 breads or 100 bread, whatever it is not tzarech yontiv, but each and every bread individually, you don't know which one is the one that's tzarech yontiv. Each and every one of them could potentially be the one that's tzarech yontiv. Therefore, each and every one is allowed to be put into the oven.
I'm trying to understand why we did the first time. You didn't designate the chal yet, so why would you need a third?
No, the Gemara is covering two things. Number one, why Rabbi Lezer is allowed to do his Eitzah, and why he disagreed with Rabbi Shua's Eitzah. Rabbi Shua said, be mafreshit, and you're not going to be over. So it says, first of all, since because I hold a vial, yeah, your Eitzah is not going to work, because if it's sitting, if I'm mafreshit and sitting on a table, I will be over on it.
I will be over because I don't...
Because Hoyle says, since I could potentially be shoyl matan neder on my afrosha, and it, so it's still mine. And on the opposite side, I'm allowed to bake it because each and every one of them, I don't have to do an afrasha, and I'm allowed to bake it without doing an afrasha, because then each and every one of them could potentially be the one that I'm going to eat.
Right, but you, Hayel doesn't usually go to Chumrah. He's using Hayel as Chumrah.
No, it's... he's using Hayel as Chumrah, yeah.
Why don't you just say the Hayel is the Kula, that he could be mafresh it because he could be... Oh, meaning
he's using Hayal also the Kula,
yeah.
The Chumrah, yeah.
You never say Hayal
Chumrah. He's using Hayal, right. Over here he's using Hayal even the Chumrah, yeah.
It would be like saying I can't use Hayal to cook on Shabbos because maybe I'll change my mind and not have guests and then I cook too
right, much. Right. And so he's using it the Chumrah over here, yeah. Rabbi Shua says, Layamin Hayel. You don't say Hayel. Since you don't say Hayel, there's no problem, even though you could be Shayel, because now you're not Shayel. It's not yours. You're not Ivers. So just let it sit there. And Rashi explains again, the second half is, since he doesn't know the Hayel, he disagrees with Rabbi Yehuda's Eitz as well. He told you can't bake it in the first place because there's one that's not right. So the only Eitz is to let it sit there and not to bake it. Itmar. If it's on Yantiv, and you're on Yantiv, Oichel Nefesh is Mutter, so you're allowed to bake. But you're only allowed to bake Letzarech Yantiv. If you bake on Yantiv Letzarech tomorrow, which is Choyl, or tonight for that matter, so Rav Chista Amar Loiker, Rav Chista says you get Malkus. You're a Mechal Yantiv. Rabba Amar, ain't it like you do not get Malkus. Rav Chista Amar Loiker, Rav Chista says you do get Malkus, Le'amin and Choyl. Umikle Archim, because you don't say Choyl, that even though you baked it, and as of now you're not planning on eating any more between now and the end of the Yontif, so by definition, it's not Letzarech Yontif. If, let's say, guests show up, you would feed it to them right now. So it's possible that it is Letzarech Yontif. So Hayol, if guests show up, then it would be Mutter. So even though guests never ended up showing up, it ends up being Mutter. Rabbi Chisna says you don't say such Hayol. Since you don't say Hayol Mikle Archim Chazile, that since if Archim would come, it would be Roy. So therefore, now also it's considered Roy. Therefore, he gets Malkus. Rabba Amar Einalik. Rabba disagrees. Rabba says you do not get Malkus because Amrina Noyel. So because he holds you do say Hayol, and therefore, as long as there's a possibility it might get used on Yontif, even though you were not, you didn't have that possibility in mind, he won't get Malkus. So Rabbi asks Rav Chisda, Lidi Doch, according to you, the Amrit, Lo Yamin and Hayel, you don't hold of Hayel. Heich Oifim Mi Yomtiv L'Shabbos. How are you allowed to bake on Yomtiv and Shabbos? From Yomtiv to Shabbos, meaning when Yomtiv is Erev Shabbos, we know that we bake on Erev Shabbos, Letzarech Shabbos. So, what's the question? So Bishlam, according to Rabbi, Mida Raisa, anyway, you're allowed to bake from Yomtiv to Shabbos, because you say Hayel. Even if you're baking Yantiv afternoon, as long as it's possible to be eaten on Yantiv, it's mutter to bake. If you don't end up eating it on Yantiv, so then it will be left over for Shabbos, and you'll eat it on Shabbos. But according to you, that you don't say Hayol, so if you weren't planning on eating on Yantiv, you're not allowed to bake it. So how are you allowed to cook and bake from Yantiv to Shabbos? So Amar Leih, so he answered in Mishomer Tashlin. You know why you're allowed to cook and bake on Erev Shabbos from Yantiv to Shabbos? Because you made an Erev Tashlin. So the Gemara asks, well, so what, how does that help? What's the magic? If midaraisa, you can't cook from Yom Tov to Shabbos. So now Chazal come and make this new invention called Erev Tashilin, and somehow that takes away Nisa Deraisa. How are you taking care of the problem that you're not allowed to cook from Yom Tov to Shabbos? So Amalei, so he answered him, midaraisa tzarech Shabbos nasa miyom tov. Midaraisa tzarech Shabbos, that what's necessary to do for Shabbos is allowed to be done even lechatchila, even without an Erev Toshilin on Yontif, because like we had this machlokes earlier in Erev and Shabbos, we can consider Yontif and Shabbos one kedusha, and if anything Shabbos is more chomer than Yontif, so on Yontif lechatchila you're allowed to, even though Yontif is kaddish and you're not allowed to be mechin from Yontif to Chol, but on Yontif midaraisa you're allowed lechatchila be mechin from Yontif to Shabbos, even without an Erev Toshilin. The Rabbanu, the Gazri Ba, so why then do you need an Erev Toshilin? Because it's a Gzer de Rabbanan. Chazar or Gezer, Gzer Shem Yomu, Avim Yomtiv Av Lechol. If we see you baking from Yomtiv, which is Friday, to Shabbos, so people are not going to realize it's because the Shabbos and Yomtiv is one Kedusha. They're going to think that you're allowed to bake on Yomtiv for tomorrow. And they're going to end up doing it when Yomtiv is a Tuesday for Wednesday, which is Chol. So because of that, they made a gzeira that you're not allowed to bake from Yontif to Shabbos, midrabbanan. Not midrashi you're allowed to, but midrabbanan they were going to not to. The kivon that shechu rabbanan erev tashilin. And now that the rabbanan established to make an erev tashilin, is le'akeris. So that's the way the erev tashilin works. It serves as a hecker. People realize that you're not allowed to, it's not a free-for-all, you're not allowed to bake Stamazoi from Yomtiv to Shabbos. It's only when you have an Erev Tashilin that you're allowed to bake from Yomtiv to Shabbos, and therefore, wherever there's no Erev Tashilin, so obviously when Yomtiv is on a Tuesday or a Wednesday, there won't be an Erev Tashilin, they'll know not to bake. So it comes out, there's two, like the Gemara speaks this out clearly in Maseches Be'ah, there's two fundamentally different ways to understand what an Erev Tashilin does. According to one man, the Amar, Erev Tashilin is the reason why it's mutter to bake from Yantar to Shabbos is because of Hayel. And the reason it's not explained clearly over here why you need an Erev Tashilin according to that Mandamar, it's not because of Hayel, it's not because of Hayel. So the Gemara in Be'ah says according to that it's the exact opposite. We're afraid that you're going to be so involved in Yom that you're going to forget about Shabbos. So we want you to start cooking before Shabbos so you shouldn't forget Shabbos. That's what an Erev Tashilin does. And according to the other Mandamar, it's the exact opposite. We don't let you cook. You're not allowed to cook from Yontif to extra food because you don't have a hold of Hayel. It's only because Yontif and Shabbos is one Kedusha. That's only Midaraisa. Midarabanan, we're chayshah that if you're going to cook from Yontif to Shabbos, you might cook from Yontif to Hayel. Therefore, we said you can't cook without an Erev Tashilin. The Erev Tashilin serves as a hacker. Eisvei. Behema hamasukenis. Let's say you have a behema that's deathly ill, and you don't want to lose the animal. If you shecht it now, so then it's going to be a shchuta, and you'll be allowed to eat the meat. If you wait a little longer, it might end up dying. If it's going to die, so then you're going to lose all that meat. You're not going to be able to eat it. So in Maseches Chulin, the Gemara says it's not a good idea to eat such an animal, and the Gemara actually asks from this Mishnah over there. There are certain cases that you would be allowed to eat it, or maybe there should be a chumra not to eat it, but at least me'ikra din, you would be allowed to eat it under certain circumstances, you would be allowed to eat such an animal. But the question is only if it's a tzarech yontif or not. So, behema mesukenes, you have a behema that's mesuken, so lo yishchait, you cannot shecht it, ela kadesh yechol lecho heimena kizayet slimi ba'ed yoyim. Unless you could eat a kezayis roasted while it's still day, while it's still yomtiv. We pick roasted, Rashi explains, because roasted is the fastest way to cook something. So if you roast it, if you have enough time to roast and eat a kezayis, so then you're able to shecht the animal. Because now it's tzarech yomtiv. Because there's no way to eat even one kezayis without shechting it, and once you shecht an animal, you shecht the whole animal. Right, so there, if you look at the Hemshech of the Mishnah over there in Chulin, the next line says even a kezayis raw. Right, so once you're shechting the animal, you can check the animal as long as one kezayis is the tzarech yomtiv. So then you can check the whole animal because it's one shechita. Same thing with a loaf of bread. If you want to bake a 3-pound loaf of bread and you only need one kezayis of bread, or you're allowed to bake the whole loaf because it's one loaf. Right.
So, Chala, who says you don't have to bake so much? What's
the Gemara says that it bakes better if it's bigger. There's chashban is why you. The Maisa, if the recipe calls for a certain thing and it cooks better that way, so you're allowed to do a whole pot or a whole loaf, even if you know you're only part of it.
Only if you say hut.
What?
This is only if you say hut.
No, this is even without oil. If you're actually eating it, it's even without oil.
If you need a piece of it.
Because you actually need one piece of it. Once you need one piece of it, you have to cook the whole thing. Or over here, you have to shecht the whole thing. There's no way to shecht a half animal.
Okay. But meaning there has to be a mila to cooking this much.
Right. The Gemara Be'ah, we'll discuss that, right, yeah. So that's what the Mishnah says. So it's mashma from the Mishnah. Again, the Mishnah says, "Al kadesh yachal lachla emeno kzayet slimi b'yom." As long as you're able to eat a kzayet slimi b'yom, so the Gemara is medayik, yachal lachal avagavul b'yom echol. Yachal lachal sounds like as long as you're able to eat, even though you're not actually planning on eating. So, bishlam ledi, according to me, the Amri Hayel that I hold of Hayel, so then I could understand even if you're not planning on eating, as long as you could potentially eat, that's Hayel. Since if he would want to eat, he could eat. So then Hayel says, even if you didn't end up eating it, since you could have eaten it, it was mutter to shecht. But according to you, the amid layamin in Hayel, that you don't hold of Hayel, and it actually has to be eaten on yontif. If it's not eaten on yontif, even though it could have potentially been eaten on yontif, it's not mutter. So on my ishad, how could you shecht over there? If that guy is not planning on eating, he's not planning on eating. It should be aser. So Amar Lei, so he told him, Mishum Hefsid Memaynai, the reason why it's mutter is because of Hefsid Memaynai, because otherwise he's going to lose the whole animal. So on that, the Gemara question, what type of heter is that? Mishum Hefsid Memaynai, should read in the Isur Deraisa again. If you don't hold of Hoyle, that means you're doing a Malach on Yom Tov, Shaloi Vitzarech Yom Tov, that's an Isur Deraisa. So because of Hefsid, we many times we say that an Isur Derabon and Derechazal didn't put down their foot out of the Xer, but Makam Hefsid moment. But an Isur Deraisa never gets pushed aside because of Hefsid moment. So Amalei, so he answered him, this is what I meant to say. In, yes. Because of Hefsid moment, it becomes Mutter. Why? Because Mishum Hefsid moment, I come and believe it, Lechu Kazayis. We give a person a choice. You say, either you lose the behema or you find a way to eat a gazayas. So he'll, even if he wasn't hungry before or he didn't have an appetite before, he'll figure out a way to eat a gazayas of it. So the reason why he's allowed a shechted is because we trust him that he'll eat a gazayas. Because he knows that if otherwise he's going to lose the gazayas, the whole animal, so he'll make sure to eat a gazayas. So therefore it's mutter because it's taka going to be l'tzarech yontif. And now the Gemara just finishes off, like we spoke about before. Once one kazayas is the tzarech yontif, the kazayas possible as shkita. You can't have a kazayas of meat without shechting the animal. And maybe you could shech the whole animal in order to get this kazayas, because this one kazayas now became tzarech yontif. According to the Mandar Marahayo, you don't even have to come on to that. As long as you could potentially eat a kazayas, it would be mutter. But however, if it's close enough to the end of the day that you don't even have the potential to eat a kazayas, so then you don't even have oil, because even if you wanted to, you couldn't eat it, and in that case, he would take a bichayiv for shechting it, he would not be allowed to shecht it. And going back to what we said before, if a guy bakes on Yom Tov, so as long as it could potentially be eaten, according to Rabbah, he wouldn't get malchus. But if you bake so close to the end of Yom Tov, by the time it comes out of the oven, there won't even be time to eat it. So it's not even possible to say hoyle. So then even Rabbah would agree that he would get malchus for baking on Yom Tov, because he bakes shalev tzarech Yom Tov, that there's not even a hoyle to say that it's possible to be eaten. Okay. Yeah, have a good day.